Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel text contains another of Jesus' parables. In the New Testament, there were over 30 of these short stories used by Jesus to convey a moral or a spiritual teaching. They use the images of ordinary life to impart extraordinary truth. But be careful that you don't take them too literally, like today's parable. I don't think any farmer or gardener would take this parable as instruction on how the field or the garden should be managed. Now, I was never very much of a gardener. In general, it was an unmitigated disaster. And in one parish, I actually had members of the church council confront me and tell me that my garden was a disgrace, an eyesore, and reflected badly on the parish since it was on church property. You see, I had been less than diligent about one important aspect of maintaining a garden, the task of pulling weeds. The weeds were happily taking over the whole plot, much to the detriment of the carrots or beets that I was hoping to eventually harvest. The church council demanded that I do something about it pronto. So I did the only thing I could. I called over a friendly neighbor and asked him to rototill the whole garden. Yes, wipe it out one sunny afternoon. No more weeds, no more problem. No more garden either. So ended that attempt for me to countrify myself. The slaves in this story, or the servants in this story, would have understood that methodology perfectly when they saw those weeds. They just wanted to get in there and make sure that they were all gone. Now, most of my parishioners in that congregation were farmers. They grew field peas and canola, but mostly wheat. In the spring and in the fall, the only way that I could make a parish visit is if I was content to ride around on a combine, happily chatting while the farmer was planting or harvesting. I can tell you that today's parable would have seemed very strange to them. Yes, they planted good seed, but they didn't stop there. Before the weeds had any chance to infiltrate the field, they were given a good dose of things like Roundup. They wanted to make sure that when harvest time came, their efforts would result in bins full of wheat, no mixture of wheat and weeds. The instruction to leave the weeds and wheat to grow together until the harvest time would have made absolutely no sense to them. But in the parables, Jesus is not giving advice for garden or field management. The parables are meant to convey various dynamics and truths about the kingdom of God. Jesus' primary proclamation was this: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn around, change your mind, think differently, because God's reign defines reality for us in new ways. Dallas Willard defines the kingdom of God as the range of God's effective will, where what he wants done is done. And we continue to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because we know that we live in a world that is often found to be in rebellion to the ways of God's kingdom. And in fact, unfortunately, personally, I think we all from time to time need to acknowledge that sometimes we misuse the free will that God has given us and find ourselves off in directions that just don't quite align with the values and intent of the kingdom. Today's parable is meant to teach us something of the reality and dynamics of God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. That someone is God. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, those who live under the reign of God. The farmers who go out in the spring to plant the crop aren't just killing time because they have nothing better to do. They have a plan, a purpose, and a goal to harvest their crop at the end of the season. If God is the sower who sows his seed into the world, it is not because God just got bored up in heaven one day. It's because God has a plan, a purpose, an intent for humanity. But something went wrong. And it wasn't just an accident or a fluke of nature. It was deliberate sabotage. While everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. The enemy is the devil, and the weeds are identified as his children. The enemy, who had rebelled against God in heaven and had been tossed out of heaven, continues to be hard at work in the world to sabotage God's good intent for humanity. Peter refers to him as a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. But back to our agricultural metaphor. My farmer parishioners, and in fact any gardener I have ever known, would have understood the impulse of the slaves to get in there and do something about it. My friend Linda, who tried to help me with a slightly less disastrous attempt at gardening about 10 years ago, always told me that it's better to get in there early to deal with the weeds before they take over the whole garden and choke out the plants that you're trying to cultivate. The slaves wanted to get in there and get rid of the weeds before they could do any damage. And weeds do cause damage. They compete for water and nutrients and sometimes literally choke out the poor little plants that are struggling to develop. Imagine their shock when the master says, "No, leave them alone until the harvest." So what does that say about our experience in the world today? It means that our daily experience is to live in a world that has good and evil. We live in a world that has people who are inclined towards God and the kingdom, and there are those who either ignore that kingdom reality or sometimes actively fight against it. And against God. It means that we need to accept the reality that evil will persist until the end of the age, and that our call to faithful living will continue to be in contexts that challenge us and maybe even tempt us. So, what do we make of this command to leave it alone until the harvest? I think the text gives us two angles to look at this. The first has to do with accidental damage. The concern is that any attempt to pull up the weeds would destroy some of the wheat. And I can tell you from my teeny tiny little gardening experience that some people just don't know what are weeds and what are wheat. You could destroy some of the wheat if you get too zealous about pulling up all the weeds. And this is pure gospel, that the wheat is so precious to God that he doesn't want to risk any of it to overzealous or inept weeding. But the second is maybe even more important. The separation will happen, we are told. At the end of the age, the weeds will be bundled up and burnt, and the wheat harvested into barns. Sin and evil will be eradicated, but it won't be us who do the eradicating. It will be the angels. That final judgment is not ours to make. But what do we do in the meantime as we look around and realize that we live in a less than perfect world? Is this parable just calling us to live and let live? To let evil grow unchallenged, unopposed? the parable doesn't really seem to give us much direction. But what if we go back to the basics? We are children of the kingdom. What does that mean? It means that we hold certain values that align with God's plan and purposes. It means that we have the Holy Spirit who works in us fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we live out our calling as the children of God that we are, according to Jesus, we are a light on a hill. We are salt of the earth. Our very presence, our very living out of that kingdom space makes a difference. And we are called to grow in our life in Christ. And one thing I do know about gardening is that a growing and healthy plant is far less affected by the weeds around it. Jerome, in reflecting on this parable, said two things. First of all, leave the judgment to God. At the end, it's not our job. But he also said something else, and I think this is where the analogy of the whole parable just kind of breaks down a little bit. He said, to leave room for repentance. Now, a weed, in the reality of gardening, is not going to miraculously turn into wheat or anything else good. But maybe, in the dynamics of the kingdom life, it can. Or maybe something that looks like a weed to us is simply wheat that is not quite recognizable yet. Either way, Jerome echoes the scripture that says that the patience of God is to give time for repentance. And at the end of the day, God's desire is that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Sometimes maybe we need a little bit more of that one particular fruit of the Spirit, patience, as we look around and are tempted to get overzealous about fixing things and fixing people. There is one passage in the Bible that talks about a Samaritan village who rejected Jesus, and the disciples wanted to demand fire from heaven to come down and destroy it. Jesus rebuked, not the town, the disciples. It was not their job. Their calling, and ours, is to simply follow Jesus, to live and proclaim the kingdom of God, and to trust God's eternal purposes for us and for this world that seems such a sad mixture of good and evil. The good news is that in the end, the kingdom of God will prevail over every evil. The good news for us is that we get to live in that kingdom and celebrate that kingdom now. Amen.